right after you listen to Beck and Soda on this podcast. Jump onto fairmonthomes.com.au and check out how you can receive 5 Live Lux upgrades for free if you build with Fairmont.
I think they're a mix of calm and crazy.
They're just fun.
They're like a married couple.
They're hilarious.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Start listening.
Happy Friday.
It is, it's a long weekend, sort of. Yeah. Unofficially a long weekend, isn't it?
There wouldn't be too many people rocking up at the office today, I wouldn't think, unless you're extra diligent.
Or us.
Yeah.
We're here.
We're here.
We're extra diligent.
Absolutely.
Look, I think it's within your rights to take a sickie today. If you are an Aussie, that's pretty normal, isn't it? It's the long weekend. Do a 4-day and make it another Easter.
Absolutely.
Or you could WFH.
What does that mean?
But not really WFH.
What does that mean?
What, you don't know what WFH Come on. Is?
For the last 2 years.
What the
No, mate. I'm glad I got the beep on that real quick.
Well, I didn't
know.
WTF, that's a mistake.
Sometimes on a Friday I'm a bit slow on that beep, okay? Oh, so just be careful.
Well, look,
please.
We're here, and if you are up and about and you're heading into work, good on you, because not everyone gets a day off. Anzac Day yesterday, did you dawn service at all?
No, I didn't. I usually take the girls down to Henley. I sadly didn't, because I knew you were flying the flag for the team.
Well, I did. I took Felix down there, say 11-year-old. We always go to Anzac Day, make it a tradition for the dawn service into the city. And I've got my mate Nige, who you met the other day, who was here for the golf. So
Nige the caddy?
Yeah, we went down, the three of us, and had a great time. I think it's brilliant that you're down there paying tribute to everyone that did that amazing sacrifice for all of us. So I think you should be involved in some capacity if you can be.
It's very emotional. The last post gets me every time.
Yeah. No, it was a really, really good morning. So to everyone down there, thanks for putting it on. We had a great time.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Here he is, the Commissioner, Grant Stevens. Great to see you, sir.
Good morning.
How you going? All right?
Good, thank you.
That's all
Did you like your greeting from me this morning?
That was one of the better salutes I've seen, Beck. I see a lot, but that was really sharp. Well done.
Look, I know for many of our listeners, they'll have no idea who Benny Hill was. Or is, but certainly I think you just brought back the Benny Hill salute. I don't think you go with the open hand, do you?
No, it's more like a cutting motion.
Yeah, that's what I did. Didn't
you have palms up?
No, my palm was facing towards myself.
Yeah, and a sharp cut.
Yeah.
What is the protocol around a salute with the boss?
Police officers are supposed to salute senior officers of police as they're approaching them, if both are wearing hats.
Is that right? Yeah. Oh, so anyone who is ranked above them, you've got to...
Yeah, only for officers of police, commissioned officers, but it's not a protocol that we insist on, particularly in an operational environment. We don't expect our police officers to be doing that, but... In ceremonial things like graduation parades and swearing-in ceremonies and medal parades, I'm usually doing about 120 salutes when we bring these people onto the force.
Can you, given Bex was a little loose, can you give us a standard salute? Like, what is...
It is radio.
I can describe it.
We can pretend
give us
I just
a little, what's important? Just the sharp drop.
It's got to be sharp and neat.
Do you need people to bow or curtsy?
I suppose it's the king now, isn't it?
So, King Charles.
Yeah. No, we don't insist on those sorts of things.
I was just thinking of introducing that around the office that some of the junior producers might want to bow as I walk past.
Do you know, it's actually part of her contract. She said, I have to bow, because you said about seniority, because Beck has been here long before I got here. She said, you understand the bowing principle.
Maybe you could actually take a knee. Get down on your
That's
knee.
More of a protest, isn't it? protesting against Beck.
Yeah, exactly. Live Golf coming up. It is going to be huge. Today everything kicks off and the weekend is going to be outstanding. I know you were there last year.
Yeah.
We were thinking about this before. We're just having a chat going, if you're a police officer, how do you get to be at Live Golf and the showdowns and all these great events taking place?
We provide an opportunity for police officers to come back to duty on a rostered day off, and we rely on that to staff some of these major events because we've still got patrols out there doing the normal day-to-day business. And it is an opportunity for police officers to come in and be a part of these things. And usually, invariably, the crowds are excellent. It's a great atmosphere. And if you're particularly passionate about a particular sport, you get to see a little bit of it. Now, obviously, you're there to do a job, but you're still part of the atmosphere. So we'd get a lot of police coming back off their days off to work on those events. And it's a great way for them to earn an extra bit of money and be a part of what's going on.
Just on that, Grant, because we're seeing golf in a different fashion. I'd imagine if, the police officers 20, 30 years ago walking through the South Australian Open at Cooyonga, it's nice and placid. This is a different beast, Live Golf, isn't it?
Oh, I don't think we'd be deploying as many police to to Cooyonga for that sort of event. It's a real party atmosphere. You know, it's been packaged really well. People are coming to Adelaide to be a part of the atmosphere. not just to see the golf. It's just how it's delivered. It's a great event. It's great for South Australia. Our people, the police officers working there, really enjoy interacting with the crowds. It's something special and it's really good.
Do any Port Adelaide supporting officers say, I refuse to work at a Crows game?
Well, they make the choice. They make the choice as to whether they're coming in or not. But once again, it's not always about the footy. It's about, you know, interacting with people in the community. It's a good place to be. You know, we've all been to these major sporting events, and it's just great to be part of the atmosphere.
Well, keep an eye out for Matty because he won some tickets on Tuesday in our show. He is going along today to have a wonderful time. His partner Rhiannon won them. So we'll make sure we told him to accept, because he's using my tickets, to accept them. He has to be on his best behaviour so he doesn't entertain any police.
It's non-negotiable, yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know what? Everybody has a good time if everyone sort of looks after each other and just respects other people's right to be there.
Grant, you're happy to stick around? Because I want to ask you about this situation that happened in Bondi recently, because we have seen so much good in society happen from something so horrific.
Absolutely. I think it's worth talking about.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Bit of a pivot because we've been seeing some images on our tellies this week of a vigil for Bondi Junction. Seeing how the female officer conducted herself in that manner really brings home, I guess, how police officers put themselves at risk every day.
Yeah, look, everybody would have heard the old saying, you know, police run to danger while others run from it. We saw that in its truest form. She was running against the crowd to where the problem was, and she took decisive action, and I think that just shows the tremendous amount of courage that she has and every other police officer that is out there doing their job. It's not an easy job. It is a very rewarding job, but it does come with risk, and I just take my hat off to her. She did an excellent job.
Absolutely. Grant, when we look at something like that, it's been such a huge impact across Australia, particularly when you hear that a baby's been stabbed, which I don't think any of us can comprehend how that could even happen. What implications does this have for the rest of Australia? Because I imagine you're all on the phone to each other and you're talking about what's going to happen here, given, you know, if there was, hopefully, it never happens, but a different sort of situation like that.
It raises people's level of awareness. You know, this could happen here. That's the reality. You certainly hope it doesn't. You're prepared, so you're in the best position to respond if it does, but you really don't know what some people are going through. And then I think it's conclusively agreed that the Bondi Junction incident was a mental health incident. And we have people living in our community who are struggling with mental health. So you do what you can to provide support and assistance to those people. When you have an incident like Bondi Junction, we know that clinicians are reaching out to their patients they think, you know, might be stressed by what they've seen. And obviously we have people that we keep a close eye on, and we sort of lift the level of focus on those as well until we are confident that things might have returned to normal in terms of the level of focus on an incident like that.
You know, the one thing with all of this, you talked about obviously, you know, first responders like the police going in when everyone's coming out, but also just looking at some of the Good Samaritans, like the French guy that held the bollards and that. Geez, there's some bloody good and courageous people
Absolutely.
In our society.
And we always say to people, you know, we don't discourage people from taking action as a member of the community, a member of the public, if you see something, but you've got to think about your own safety first, you know. Yep. There's got to be a line that you have to think about. There's no point going into a situation and adding to the problem or becoming a victim, but we also say if you think you can do something and do it safely, then we are all members of the same community. You have an obligation, I think, as a part of the community to do that.
Police Commissioner, I'll salute you on the way out. Should I have to stand up? Don't have to get up my chair.
Don't worry about that.
It's radio. Pretend you stood up.
You don't go up.
Hang on.
No, I actually did.
That's not
that time.
What you did is not a salute with your hand going up. That's actually illegal. You better stop right now.
You've got to use all fingers, not just the middle one, Beck.
You can't do that. Thank God we're on radio. Police Commissioner Grant Stevens, great
to see
you.
Excellent.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda.
Got a secret, can you keep it?
Beck and Soda, secrets of the suburbs. Untold secrets, unbelievably true. Only on SAFM.
Secret. Oh, I love this time, Beck, because we get to find out so many different things. If you have a secret you've been holding on to, safm.com.au is where you need to go. And imagine how good you feel when you get it off your chest.
All right, let's go to our next secret. Anonymous, what's your story?
I put a dent in my partner's car and I didn't tell him, and I've been trying to get away with it for the past couple months now. So originally, me and my partner are always arguing about who the worst driver is. He thinks it's me, I think it's him. He thinks that putting on an indicator is more of like a suggestion, and I think going the speed limit is like a suggestion. So we're kind of both kind of bad. So he had to go to work one day and he wanted to take my car because my car is the nicer car. So he took mine and I was taking his work car. I needed to go shopping, and as I was reversing, I was too busy looking at a tree because I didn't want to hit the tree, and I forgot about the letterbox on the opposite side, and I reversed into the letterbox, and it put a huge dent in the back on the right-hand side. And I knew from that moment on I needed to lie about it. I really did, because I did not want him to be like, you're such a bad driver.
And so what did you do after you hit the letterbox?
I pulled upwards instead, and then I fixed up the letterbox area. I quickly painted over the letterbox, so I knew he was going to be out all day. And then I got my nail polish remover and removed the red paint from the dent of the car. And then I reversed the car in backwards so he couldn't see it from when he jumped in the car. And then a few days go by, he's like, there's a huge dent in the car. And I was like, what? No way. Are you serious? And he's like, I bet someone hit the car with like a shopping trolley at the shopping centres. And I was like, that's probably what happened for sure. And then later on, as a surprise for his birthday, I was like, hey, I paid to get the dent out of your car. Aren't I such a good girlfriend?
Oh, good on you. So what did it cost you to get it fixed?
$600. It was just the price to pay to avoid being told that I'm a shit driver.
So has he got any idea what you've done?
It's been about 2 months now, and I still haven't told him. But I feel like I'll tell him when he's in a really, really happy mood, because now we can laugh about it, because the dent's not there.
You've absolutely pulled the wool over his eyes. He's got no suspicion it's you.
I just come off as the good girlfriend, I think. Oh, she's such a helpful person. She would never do anything wrong.
So how was it you actually hit the letterbox? Do you wear glasses when you drive, or?
I'm meant to, but I don't, because I feel like they don't suit my character as a person.
Why? Do they make you look too bookish or a bit nerdy, or what? Why don't they suit you?
I've got like curly hair, and I like to go out to the beach, and I've got this fun personality, and I'm only 5'3", so when I put the glasses on, it just doesn't match it. I look too like professional, and I'm just like, nah, let's not.
But maybe if you had the glasses that you were supposed to be wearing, Anonymous, you wouldn't have hit the letterbox.
So that's why I don't wear my glasses, because I don't want to have the conversation with him that I need to be wearing them when I drive, so that's why I didn't tell him about the dent.
Do you think you're ever going to confess?
I've got it all planned out. We're going to Europe in the next year or so, and I was like, I bet he's going to like ask me to marry him. And then on that very special happy day, I'll be like, do you want to know something funny? Because we'll be so, so happy that he won't even care about it.
He'll probably say, drive with your glasses on.
Yeah, among other things.
What about if we actually got you to tell him that you stacked his car?
Maybe he would laugh about it, because it's been like a couple months now, but also, what if he doesn't?
Well, hey, I reckon that your plan, it's worked brilliantly, so well done you.
Well executed. I have to say I'm very proud of myself, but I've also got this little guilt sitting on me, and I'm like, no, it's fine. This happens all the time to people out there.
Got a secret.
Beck and Soda. Secrets of the suburbs. Share your secret at safm.com.au.
This is SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. Refuel with Nippy's chocolate milk.
Nicely done, Bokey. A beautiful goal.
With Beck and Soda, we'd like to welcome Travis Boke, 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 Boke.
Port Adelaide superstar, always great to have him on board, particularly when he is back playing tonight against the Saners. Bokey, you missed last week with that sore back, but you are ready to go.
Good morning, guys. Yes, 2 weeks out was enough. But no, the back's put up really well. I trained this week, got through training, and ready to go. Come this Friday night, footy Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, we missed you against the Pies.
Yeah, it wasn't the greatest game. First quarter, I was looking at it, and I'm like, wow, the boys are on. We're going to have a good win here. And then the next three just didn't go to plan. They outnumbered us everywhere, got us in contested ball. And unfortunately, yeah, we're too good. So we look to bounce back tonight.
Hey, Bokey, when you were going down a little bit in that game and you're watching on, did you just feel like just getting out there and ripping someone's head off?
I was sitting on the couch, and I've got a new puppy now, and I was trying hard not to yell because she was sleeping. And it was the first time she'd slept during the day, and I was like trying to relax her. So I was trying not to yell too hard at the TV. So it became quite difficult after quarter time.
Now, Bokey, of course, Sunny, you bought a collie, you lost, well, pretty recently. So she was 15. You pretty much had her since you've got to Port Adelaide for a lot of your journey.
Yeah. So she's literally been around the whole footy journey nearly, but unfortunately passed away about 3 months ago. She had cancer. I got home from Christmas and, yeah, it was a bit crooked. So the last little week or so when she was sick was one of the worst in my life. It's not great saying goodbye to a dog.
But losing a family dog is so traumatic. Yeah. Bokey, we've been there as well. But tell us about the new puppy.
Little Sammy, another border collie. She's 10 weeks old now, so just settling in to life at home. But she's been good, crying a little bit at night, but she loves it outside, so it makes it easier for me. She just goes outside and plays. So.
Does she sleep on the bed?
No, she doesn't sleep on the bed. right now, she's in the laundry at night. Mm. And then I go take her out in the morning and she runs around. She will eventually get into the room, but just not just yet.
Bokey, how did you come up with the name Sammy?
So it was initially Sammy, but then my sister and her partner came around and she was calling her and it sounded too much like Sunny that I was worried. So I changed it to Sasha and I officially announced it on Instagram as Sasha.
You made it Insta official.
Hard
launched the dog.
I even rang Mum. So Mum used to have a dog named Sasha. I got the approval off Mum.
Oh.
And then I changed it 5 minutes later.
So you went with Sasha so that it didn't sound like Sonny, the original dog, like Sammy did. But then you've gone back to Sammy. This is becoming confusing. Why'd you go back to Sammy?
Yeah, I know. I went back to Sammy because I love the name too much. I'll deal with it if it sounds like Sonny. But we stuck with Sammy and she's starting to respond to it. So it's stuck now.
Bokey, is Sammy allowed to sort of lick the plates and that if you've finished your meal? Or is it dog-only bowls?
No, not yet. Eventually, we may get to that stage because I'm too soft and when she's got these little gorgeous little eyes, so I won't be able to say no.
Pokey, we're excited that you've got a new love of your life.
It's made me a lot tighter during the day, but it's actually a good thing. I'm definitely in love with her, so it's a good thing to have in your life.
Oh, I'm seeing the Daily Mail headlines now. Travis Folks, new love.
In love.
Yeah, all right, Bokey. Good luck tonight, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
On the pier.
You're listening to SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda for the bingiest breakdowns. SAFM Stream Queen.
Lisa Wolford joins us. Lisa, great to see you. What are we watching at the moment? What do we need to see?
I tell you what, I've got two heavy-ish kind of shows and then a nice soul-soothing show.
Okay.
So I'll start with The Tattooist of Auschwitz, which drops on Stan next week. It is a love story set, obviously, in Auschwitz. So there is a little bit of light amongst the dark. Harvey Keitel is the older Lali, so he's retelling his story to the person who wrote the book.
Right.
The first episode is really... There's a few moments that might break you, but just push through to get to the end where he meets, spoiler alert, the love of his life.
Based on a true story?
Yeah, based on a true story. He lived in Australia too, after the war, obviously, but he was one of the people who would tattoo the numbers.
Oh, wow.
The SS recruited him, so he was kind of a prisoner, but also with the SS. Yep. So it's fascinating. Mm. It's beautifully done. But yeah, a bit heartbreaking.
You need your tissues.
You need your tissues.
Okay.
You need, I'll give it 5 leases.
Ooh, 5 leases out of 5. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm. Tearjerker.
Tearjerker, yeah. But heartwarming too.
Yeah, okay.
And your next one's also a bit heavy.
It is one of the number one most watched shows on Netflix currently, Baby Reindeer.
Oh, I've seen it up on the screen, you know, when you're flicking through them all, but I haven't watched it yet.
It sounds like a kid's cartoon.
It is anything but a kid's cartoon, Beck. It is 7 eps again, and it's based on the guy who actually plays the lead role in it. Mm. So it's based on his life. It is a borderline horror about him being stalked.
Who's the stalker?
Martha is the stalker and she called him Baby Reindeer, hence the name.
Oh, so it's kind of like a Fatal Attraction almost.
It is. Do you know, I couldn't finish the last episode, not because it wasn't good TV, but just because it was so full on.
Fully confronting?
Yes, and I don't know how he can act out some of these things. Is it therapy?
Really?
Yeah.
And it actually happened to him.
It happened to him. And there's a whole heap of other stuff.
This is a true story as well.
True story.
Right.
2 true stories.
That actually makes it more fascinating. And is this one of those truth is stranger than fiction scenarios?
Absolutely.
Right.
All right, how do we soothe our soul? Because they are seriously heavy.
Well, I have that for you, MasterChef. Mm. MasterChef is back on and we've got 3 new judges. Apo.
Oh, yes.
We love Po.
Apo, she's good.
Is there someone on television with a better smile than Po?
I don't reckon. Or a wider smile. Or a more infectious laugh than Po. No, I don't think so. We've also got Sophia Levin, who's a food writer. She is fabulous too. And Jean-Christophe Novelli.
Oh, yes.
I think he's my new dad crush because he's in his 60s. Mm-hmm. But he is beautiful. It's a great judging panel and they will certainly bond together, as you'll see.
All right. Well, that is your free-to-air tip, MasterChef on 10. Thank you to our stream queen, Lisa Wolford.
Always a pleasure, guys.
SAFM Breakfast with Beck and Soda. Number one for fun. That's it for Beck and Soda. Now it's time to jump onto fairmonthomes.com.au and check out how you can receive 5 Live Luxe upgrades for free if you build with Fairmont. SAFM.